The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I don't know if I'm going to be able to perform my job. The maturity level needed for this job at times, Dom. I may not meet that bar. Happy Thursday to you.
Hey, happy Thursday.
Stormy Thursday.
It is Rich on the board. Thank you once again, man. Our fair audience. What a wonderful day. We're going to keep it together. It's going to be a great show. I can't wait.
You chose to share a tasteless but hilarious meme with me as we're going on the air today, and you pointed down, and I looked at it, and I'm finding it difficult to be mature and professional.
You kind of set the bar with the postings today, Crudy. I'm just, you know, following along in that vein.
Now, if you don't follow us on the Facebooks or the Twitter or whatever, at Devil Radio, Devil's Advocates Radio Show, do so. Because you'll see the maturity that days like today bring out of the juvenile delinquents that are the host of the show.
How do you stay young? We got to act young, right? That's my motto.
So let's pull it together. Let's get it launched here. It's going to be a very important show, Dom. Let's talk about the media. You also shocked me a little bit. The consumption of Foxy News, dude. What were you doing?
I know. I was driving in the car, construction, flipping through, MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News, and I was struck because the reporting is exactly the opposite on those stations. On
black is white, up is down.
It was Fox News, and I didn't hear. I was listening on the radio, so I didn't hear who the commentators were. But one was the news you won. The other one was like the analyst. And the analyst is essentially saying, oh, this is a Trump's attorney necklace was just lighting up Stormy Daniels. It was a master class. Stormy looked terrible. She was absolutely inconsistent. It was a great day for the Trump defense. And then
that was the Fox News take.
Yes. Yes. And
I missed that take.
Even me, I was like, well, I just heard the opposite thing on these other networks. And then Fox News literally played one of the analysts from CNN saying essentially the opposite thing. It's opposite world. It's entirely different listening to Fox about how things are going today and versus the other network, CNN specifically in this case. What I would really like is some cameras in the freaking courtroom, man.
Yes.
Let us make our own determination so I don't have to worry about some analyst from God knows where talking what to what. To these networks, how about we, see for ourselves? But unfortunately, we're not there.
I'd prefer to litigate through meme. I'm really enjoying the meme games. People are stepping up with the Stormy Daniels testimony. Oh, the memes are good. We'll share more of the memes. 844-967-2789. You can always be a part. But Dom, as you were transfixed by the up is down world that is the Foxy News world, I was catching a little of the MSNBC. MSDNC, as Trump would call it. And former right-wing talk radio host Charlie Sykes, paid contributor on MSNBC. Don't even go there. I have met the man. He shook my hand. We've got the Charlie. Rich, going to ask for your help with the hard work you've done. This one, Charlie Sykes talking about Donald Trump. And if you believe Fox News, oh man, they're these Joe Biden prosecutors in New York are helping Trump win the reelective campaign. And depending on who you believe, he may even come out of this fully exonerated, fully acquitted of all charges. Hell, I heard Bill O'Reilly falsely calling a hung jury a full acquittal if it happens. I'm like, whatever. But let's hear how they're doing it on the MSNBC. And Charlie Sykes, former Righty Whitey Talk Radio guy of some renown, he helped create this monster.
Yeah.
Let's see how it's playing now. Trump, of course, came to Wisconsin last week. Joe Biden was in Studevant down at the Foxconn. Well,
Microsoft
Development Corporation area to celebrate a $3.3 billion private investment. And this one probably more viable than the promised investment of the foreign corporation Foxconn. So setting the stage, kind of where we ended, we're going to pick up today with Charlie Sykes, Dom's buddy on MSNBC, played for the people. Cut
well,
one.
It's not going to affect his hardcore support. I mean, the Republicans have already baked that in. I mean, they already raised their hands during the debate and said they would support Donald Trump even if he was a convicted felon. But being a convicted felon is not an asset. We do live on Earth 2.0, but it's hard to imagine that voters in my home state here of Wisconsin are going to be more likely to vote for somebody who is a convicted felon. And also, it's just the wash around of all of the sleaze surrounding him. It's not just the guilty verdict. It's just being reminded who Donald Trump is, the kind of world that he lives in, the way he treats women, the way he treats the idea of truth. So again, don't expect Republicans to break from him. Don't expect the base to move away from him. But swing voters are not likely to be impressed.
Yeah, swing voters in Wisconsin.
No,
being a convicted felon, for most swing voters, that's not a positive attribute. But somehow the Trump supporters think this is the greatest thing ever.
Well, and if you're convinced,
go ahead.
That this, if you are convinced as a person that it's the deep state, it's lawfare, it's, you know, they're just coming after him, this is your guy, and you're going to vote for him because of that, you're voting for him because he's standing up for you, you're voting for him because you know, he's going against the deep state, well then you're probably already MAGA. You know what I mean? If you have that philosophy that this is deep state and lawfare and all those things, you're already MAGA, you're already there. I don't think the independents are thinking generally that this is lawfare. When Donald Trump gets up and says, oh, this is, you know, Biden's DOJ, I mean, obviously, it's absolutely not. It's not true. And when he gets up and says, oh, I can't testify because of a gag order, of course, it's patently false and was corrected to his face by the judge the following day. People of you know, normal intellect can listen and hear those things and understand this guy's full of it, period. And then he comes out to be a convicted felon after that. No, that's not, certainly not a plus in his column.
In a plus plus?
No plus.
Charlie Sykes, your buddy, had a little bit more to say about Joe Biden coming to Wisconsin yesterday. And again, the juxtaposition of the Foxconn, the failure of the Trump, of the wanker, and the Joe Biden success with the Microsoft investment and the Evers. So let's hear it from Charlie Sykes.
Can I just comment, though, you know, being, you know, I'm just a few miles up the road from that Foxconn plant where Joe Biden was yesterday. Just trust me, people in Wisconsin remember this story really well. They remember the whole Foxconn con. They remember how it was touted by Donald Trump, how it was touted by Scott Walker. All of the money that was committed, these were really, really big numbers. This was a huge story here in Wisconsin. So this was one of the moments where, you know, my reaction to Joe Biden coming in and trolling Trump on this was, this was a pretty good act of presidential trolling to really highlight the gap between what Donald Trump promised and what happened. And trust me, people in Wisconsin remember this story and know exactly what Joe Biden is talking about.
Oh, yeah. They know.
We reminded them yesterday if they forgot.
Foxconn. No one's forgotten the Foxconn, Dom. No one forgets Foxconn. We won't let them. So, anyways, Charlie Sykes, I got to say, that was more my media appetite this morning. I didn't have an appetite for the Foxy News. I did have pancakes with our friend Kathy, though.
All right.
Nice to see her. She's a big fan. Root for the Devil's Advocates. We appreciate that.
Did you have pancakes and then another dish, or did you have only pancakes?
I and Kathy was buying because it was her turn. We've had a few recent bruncheons, let's say. And so anyways, yes, I had the multifaceted order. I got the corned beef hash, two eggs over easy, which came with the pancakes. And then, rather than substituting or trying to make some really problematic, I just asked for an extra bowl of strawberries, and I slathered them over the pancakes, and they brought whipped cream, and that was the coup de grace. So I was well fed. I feel satiated.
Yes, you should. Excellent.
And then I went back for a little more Stormy testimony, and you know that also gave me sort of a warm, fuzzy feeling. At least per Jake Tapper on CNN, the CNN coverage. I now prefer it because they're doing live transcripting of the in-room testimony. And to me, at least I could read along and feel comfortable. But Tom, some of our friends, they got to work. So here's the deal. We'll make a deal with you. Come back here at 5:00. Don't go anywhere. But we're absolutely going to do more dramatic readings from the Stormy Daniels testimony. Only today, Tom.
Is the audience demanding this, Curtis?
Yes! By popular demand, it's back! Only this time, I'm Stormy.
Oh, okay. All right. And I'll try to do better. I'll do better. I was prepared last time.
You didn't have the proper qualities? Dom, we'll talk more about Stormy. We'll save it for the 5:00 happy hour. Also, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler, he's coming. And we're going to turn our attention to wannabe cowboy Eric Hudvey. And the best analogy of Dom's media career, and I'm not exaggerating, I've heard some god-awful analogies out of you, dude.
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, some bad ones. And this might be the best one I've ever heard from you. I am so proud of you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It just came to me. It's just the genius strikes once in a while.
It was epiphany of pure genius. The analogy you have come up with, Eric Hudvey, you got to come back. More Devil's Advocates. We'll turn towards the Eric Hudvey, the cowboy, and also the best analogy of Dom's young life. More Devil's Advocates. It's a Stormy Thursday edition. And you could be a part. I'm pretty sure. Although I need a job, I'm losing track of the days.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday Eve to us all. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789.
Want to be a cowboy? Bruce Murphy, Urban Milwaukee, Online Daily. One of the finest political journalists in the state. We call him a friend. Dom, Murphy's, I think, captured the essence of the Eric Hudvey quandary with his headline. Cowboy Hudvey hurting candidate Hudvey? He might be. And for those that are unaware, the leftist coast living Eric Hudvey is also, what, the owner of a couple banks? Big shot. And he is often featured in his own advertisements. And, you know, Dom, this might explain why, despite all wisdom on the campaign trail, this candidate has not shaped off the pornstachioed mustache, because it kind of makes him look like Sam Elliott in an old cowboy movie. You know what I mean? I think he's trying to do this. So does Bruce Murphy, I suspect. Dom, the best analogy of your career. Hold it for just a moment.
Okay.
A great moment in advertising, it ain't. The ad Getting Airplane Arizona presents Eric Hudvey. Yes, the Republican running for Wisconsin's U.S. Senate seat is a cowboy in a cheesy set for a Western town that wouldn't pass muster in the cheesiest B-movie. It shows us two nice town folk complaining that the two dastardly laughing bankers, one of whom looks like the Monopoly man transplanted to the Old West, have bad service and hidden fees. In response, Cowboy Hudvey proceeds to lasso them. This is something of a jumping the shark moment, Dom, but I read on.
We have the sound of that?
Your big bank.
We do. We have the sound. Let's play the sound.
Let's not leave it to Crudy's imagination. Dramatic readings we're saving for the happier happy hour in the courtroom testimony of Stormy. But since we have the sound accompanying the Urban Milwaukee piece, thank you to Bruce Murphy and Rich for doing the work. Play it for the people. Cut one.
What's going on around here?
The big banks are at it again. I can't get my loan renewed even though they have my deposits.
Yeah, I've been a longtime customer and I can't get a real estate loan to fix my building.
And their service stinks.
Time to round up those big bankers.
Let's get them!
Your big bank got you tied up? Come to SunWest. We're the best.
Ching! We're the best. Here's the interesting part. Hudvey is accompanied by, you know, sort of a sidekick. Every good Western movie has a sidekick, right?
And
it kind of looks like me in that I'm full size and Eric Hudvey is a full sized human being. And then on another horse is a little person like you, Dom. How do you explain that? Is that a little person? Is that a midget or is that a child? I'm not clear.
I think it was a child. I'm pretty sure it was a child.
Well, there's also a second ad, Dom.
But wait, there's more.
Dom, in a second ad, Hudvey sits on a desk wearing his cowboy hat and says, "I've had a lot of fun making these silly commercials," but then thankfully takes off the hat to get serious about the high capital ratios of SunWest banks and reserves and liquidity that are among the highest in the industry. Don't take my word for it. Here is U.S. Senate candidate from Wisconsin, Eric Hudvey, the Cowboys word for it. Play it.
I've had a lot of fun making these silly commercials, but now it's time to be serious. Many are concerned about the banking industry. At SunWest, our capital ratios are double many of the biggest banks. Our reserves and liquidity are among the highest in the industry. We operate with a fortress balance sheet so we can provide a safe home to our customers and continue to lend in even the toughest times. If you want a bank that can weather any economic storm, come to SunWest.
If I hear him and I'm reading between the lines, he's saying, "I'm rich, bitch." Isn't that sort of the implication? We're so rich, we got a fortress. We are Fort Knox over here.
He's also self-funding his campaign in Wisconsin, right? To the tune of, I think, what, $8 million most recently?
Well, and counting. You'll need to put in substantially more. There is some,
a mustache premium that he's going to have to put in just to, you know, get away with the mustache and the cheesy cowboy ads? I mean, it's got to cost a little more every time someone clicks on that.
Well, here's how Bruce Murphy reports it, Tom. The ads first reported by Politico seem like an incredible blunder by Hudvey, and not because they're so lame. They are pretty lame. Here's a guy the Democrats have been pounding as a carpetbagger, identifying him as Eric Hudvey, Republican from Laguna Beach, who owns an Ocean View mansion there. He's also been named one of Orange County's most influential people 3 years in a row and is a local California celebrity with his popular California TV commercials. Meanwhile, he's failed to vote in Wisconsin for 17 of the last 30 elections. The residency question hurt Republicans and Michaels, did it? Is that what did it, Michaels? Was it the carpetbagger nature whose home in Connecticut became an issue in the Wisconsin race for governor? And it continues to pop up about Hudvey, most recently in an AP story this week. He's Wisconsin through and through, Hudvey's campaign spokesman. Friend of ours, Ben Vogel, we know Ben well, told the AP, "They're trying to distract from literally every other issue that they don't want to talk about." Is that the problem? So does Hudvey handle the criticism by staring in ads, trying to push that he's just a Wisconsin guy? That effort is included in an ad featuring his wife, Sharon, leafing through a photo album of his days at Madison East High School in UW-Madison in a video clip of Hudley plunging into an icy Lake Mendota near the house he owns in Madison.
Didn't he then challenge current Senator Tammy Baldwin to join him if she was a real Wisconsinite?
Well, he said something of the sort. And Hudley could have put those silly Arizona ads, you know, put them off until the campaign was over. Now, Bruce Murphy, in parentheticals, right? I doubt his campaign handlers were very happy about them. The fact that he didn't raises the question of how committed to Wisconsin in the Senate race he is. It also makes one wonder if he's declined to shave off his mustache, something that rarely helps a political candidate because he needed it for those cowboy banker ads.
See?
And, Dob, you've got an excellent analogy for this.
I didn't know, Rudy, until I saw that video, that Hubby is the Gruber Law Offices of California, man. Are you kidding me?
Devil's Advocates, one call does it all. 844-967-2789. I actually love that analogy. One of your best.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Sort of a cowboy hour in honor of cowboy Eric Hudby. Now, he wants to be a U.S. Senator from the great state of Wisconsin, despite the fact he does not live here. But also, Dom, you've come up with this brilliant thought. Eric Hudby effectively is the face of his SunWest Bank Corporation. So much so, he cannot resist the urge to put himself in every freaking commercial. And he's wearing the pornstachio to what, look like an old-style cowboy, Dom? Because they're effective ads.
Out west guy, you got to have a mustache if you're out west. Otherwise, your lip gets burned from the sun.
You know, they must have garnered a lot of compliments down at the country club in Laguna Beach, Dom, because he continues with them, despite the fact he's running a senatorial campaign. Last I heard, he hasn't dropped out, has he?
No, not
that I'm aware.
Well, he's got a day job, you know. I mean, working man from Wisconsin, just, you know, doing his thing,
like being the face every other citizen of a Fort Knox fortress style bank in ads in Arizona, where he's apparently the David Gruber of the SunWest Bank. And Dom, I love this analogy. And, you know, this epiphany you've had that he is so intrinsically linked to his corporation. Like David Gruber, I suspect, he just can't resist. Have you seen the newest Gruber ads?
I mean, he's all over the place. So well, what do you refer to?
I saw one very recently. I mean, I'm sure he's updated three more this week. But I saw one within the last week or so. This smile brought to you by Gruber Law. Yeah. And then it was just a bunch of goofy looking dogs, puppies and stuff, just flopping around.
Yeah, I love that commercial. That's a great commercial.
Well, I'm not saying it isn't, but you know, the fact that it's a commercial about puppies, but you still see like three shots of David Gruber in it. Right. Yeah. And then like at the end, he's holding the dog next to his face. He is the face of Gruber Law. I hear, and right. I don't know, but word on the street is his wife is the one doing most of the actual legal counseling, and he's mostly filming commercials and hanging out with dogs and being a lot like Eric Hudby, you know, just sort of the face of his corporation.
And I don't mean to diminish, you know, Mr. Gruber, of course, but that is the comparison. I see that goofy ad from Hudby. I mean, that is just terrible.
We should call David Gruber. We might be the only media source in America that David Gruber has not put his stamp on yet. Call us, David, 844.
He's prolific.
967-2789. Or you can call us.
Oh, man.
Is this really his professional ego getting in the way? You know, there's a little bit more.
You mean the fact that he won't cut off the mustache? That seemingly this is part of his character for his ads for his bank. That's why he hangs on to it. That if he were a serious candidate, Crudy, he would at least grow a goatee or probably shave the whole thing off, right?
Or shave his entire head. That's the most handsome look you can go with. A little bit more from Bruce Murphy, online daily, urbanmilwaukee.com. I wonder if maybe Hudvey is looking at the polling. A Quinnipiac poll released yesterday has incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin with a 12-point lead over Hudvey. I have long suspected that's about where the race is going to end up. 10 to 12, double digits. The unbeatable Tammy Baldwin's going to beat this carpetbagger's ass, Dom. But, as Murphy writes, there's still time for Hudvey to turn that around. But as 50% of respondents said they didn't know enough about him. What, don't they live in Arizona? Haven't they seen the ants? But among those that did, Hudvey was underwater, with 25% of them having an unfavorable opinion and 23% a favorable. Now, Tammy Baldwin, unlike most politicians in the state, always on the north of the favorable, unfavorable. Anyways, the Marquette Law School poll of 3 weeks ago showing the candidates in a tie amongst likely voters has been touted by Hudvey's campaign, but was less definitive than the one data point suggested, as the poll expert Charles Franklin explained to Urban Milwaukee. The survey's initial question of respondents showed Baldwin up by 7%, with 18% undecideds among the registered voters, and up by 4% with the 15% undecided among likely voters. When we asked the undecideds who they will vote for if they had to decide, Baldwin led by 5 with registered voters, frankly noted, and tied with Hudvey amongst likely voters. But that has to be taken largely with a grain of salt, Tom.
Pretty, since 56% said they don't know enough about Hudvey to have a favorable or unfavorable opinion, I think the highly undecided is in line with not having a lot of information about the race, Franklin explained. Take it all together. Baldwin has a lead, but it's smaller than her 11-point margin in 2018.
Quinnipiac disagrees, sir.
It looks a lot closer. It looks like a closer race, but not a toss-up at this point. There are a lot of undecided, which still leaves an opportunity for Hudvey to change the dynamics of the race, but he may have to start concentrating more on Wisconsin and less on the Old West. So says Bruce Murphy at the urbanmilwaukee.com. He makes a great cowboy, man.
Yippee-o-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Well, that's a Christmas movie, less than a Western.
It's totally a Christmas movie, man.
844-967-2789. So, Eric Hudvey, and I'm still wondering about the sidekick in that earlier ad.
Grandkid, maybe. You know, maybe he's one of those that throws the kids in the commercials.
Remember like when Ron Johnson was getting peed on by his grandkid in an ad? Most effective. I think that peeing grandkid might have helped him beat Russ Feingold.
That was it. That put him over the top.
And sadly,
darkening Mandela Barnes's face, that didn't help at all.
Well, that was a differing. I'm talking about 2018, dude. We've gone through a couple of cycles of Rojo. But do you remember when Rojo's grandkid was peeing on him? That was the last. Yeah. That was 6 years ago. Jeez. And then we came to find out that was fake pee.
Well, I would imagine. I mean, it's a commercial.
Not like what Trump reportedly experienced at the Four Seasons in Moscow. Fake pee. So just for clarity's sake.
The Steele dossier you refer to, Michael. I mean, we didn't say that. That's what Steele dossier implies.
Well, it's been completely discredited, and there is no Russian collusion, and no, Trump did nothing wrong, and the dog ate my homework.
I didn't have enough change for the phone. I missed the taxi.
Dom, something else Trump said recently, and I noted over at the Cap Times local paper here in Madison, Wisconsin, Dave Zweifel's opinion piece. Trump's approach to climate change. Burn, baby, burn.
Drill, baby, drill.
Well, burn, baby, burn, as the headline describes it. We might talk a little bit more about the Mar-a-Lago fundraiser where Trump invited the oil executives down and basically asked for a quid pro quo.
I mean, asked for their support and agreed with
to
them.
To the tune of $1 billion.
Well, you know, I mean.
Give me $1 billion and I will.
Biden-omics, man, it wasn't so long ago where you'd only needed like $500 million. But with Biden-omics nowadays, if you're going to buy the White House under Donald Trump, it's going to cost you a cool bill.
Well, that's because he's got to allocate about half of it to go cover the legal tabs, right? As it's written at the Cap Times, many political observers contend that the future of the democracy is at stake in this fall's presidential election. I think maybe I'm not so sure the future of the world isn't also at stake. Well, now that might be considered, you know, sort of a big statement. What's been flying under the radar in all of this contentiousness surrounding this year's election is the issue that may make all the other issues seem irrelevant. What we euphemistically call climate change, or Ron Johnson calls a hoax. That's Crudy's interpretation, but I've heard him say it.
Donald Trump called a hoax from China.
It's a hoax.
From China. Chinese hoax.
I think that was the COVID, but you're going to have to look. Right. A recent United Nations report was succinct in describing the dangers that lie ahead if we don't find ways to reduce the steady warming of the only planet we have. Climate change is the defining issue of our time, and we are at a defining moment from these shifting weather patterns that threaten food production to rising sea levels that increase the risk of catastrophic flooding, including at Mar-a-Lago Dam. And the impacts of climate change are global in scope and unprecedented in scale. Without drastic action soon, or today as he writes, adapting to these impacts in the future will be more difficult and costly. Well, and deadly, it's going to be harder to turn that clock back, to put that genie back in the bottle, Dom. The World Wildlife Fund reported more frequent and intense drought, storms, heat waves, rising sea levels, melting glaciers, and warming oceans can directly harm animals, destroy the places they live, and wreak havoc on people's livelihoods. Well, I've heard a few recent politicians claiming that's their goal, wreaking havoc, Dom.
That's their political philosophy.
Wreaking havoc on people's livelihoods and communities. As climate change worsens, dangerous weather events are becoming more frequent or severe. Worldwide in 2023, the hottest year on record, there were 399 disasters ranging from hurricanes to floods, wildfires, a little more damaging than wildflowers, to tornadoes that resulted in 86,473 deaths. And the NOAA, National Centers for Environmental Information, recently released its final update to the 2023 disaster report for the U.S., confirming a historic year. Number one, Dom.
Woohoo! We're number one. USA. USA.
Well, not
USA.
Worldwide. Okay. Worldwide. There were 28 weather and climate disasters in 2023, surpassing the previous record of 22 in 2020, tallying a price tag of $93 billion. No, that might be the USA. I'm sorry for interrupting your very patriotic chance.
Yeah, man. Thank you for correcting the record.
It helps explain why your homeowners insurance rates are skyrocketing. I just got an update from my homeowners insurance agency, Dom. Jake from State Farm sent me a letter and said it's going up about 20% this year. Ooh. I've had zero claims on my homeowners insurance.
On the coast, right?
No, I live in Middleton, nowhere near anything other than Middleton. It's a lake like four blocks down, but I'm not in a floodplain or something. Here is a little bit more from the Cap Times. One of the most concerning impacts of global warming is the effect warmer temperatures will have on the Earth's polar regions and mountain glaciers, reports National Geographic. The Arctic is warming four times faster than the rest of the planet. The warming reduces critical ice habitat and disrupts the flow of jet stream, creating more unpredictable weather patterns around the globe. All that in turn is causing drought in parts of the world and causing major population disruptions as people flee to more livable environments. Perhaps we've seen a few of those immigrants, Dom. There's a caravan every election year on Fox News featured. Yet, in the face of all this, Donald Trump's campaign has vowed to overturn at least five of President Joe Biden's major climate initiatives that have been hailed as the most bold in the nation's history. And when he was president from 17 to 21, Trump reversed more than 100 environmental protections enacted during Barack Obama's presidency. In turn, Biden reversed much of Trump's agenda. Should Trump be elected to a second term in 24, it would become an all-out assault on any possible progress on climate change, says the senior vice president of campaigns at the League of Conservation Voters. And, added the paper, senior Republicans don't necessarily disagree. Michael McKenna from the Trump White House is supporting Trump's bid for a second term, said the approach to climate change, their approach to climate change, let me slow down, say it clearly, would likely be one of indifference. Burn, baby, burn. There's more to the article. Maybe we'll come back and touch on it. We are the Devil's Advocates. I think it's Thursday. Pretty sure it's Thursday. Eric Hudvey still being a cowboy. It must be Thursday. 844-967-2789. Everybody says, save a horse,
ride a cow. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such.
And bankers. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the line. Yeehaw! 844-967-2789. Yeah! Yeah!
Going to the rodeo this weekend, are we?
Tractor pull.
Tractor pull. Well, those are kind of fun. I do like the tractor pulls. I've seen them, man. You know, I grew up in rural Wisconsin. I've been to my share of tractor pulls.
You and me both, man.
I've also been to my share of the Dane County Junior Fairs at the Dane County Coliseum, now the Alliant Energy Center. And
what's that? I don't know what that is.
The Dane County Junior Fair, man. It's like when the carnival comes to town with the FFH, the Future Farmers, FFA, Future Farmers of America. There's livestock involved.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay,
and then there's lots of booths and, you know, lots of crappy fried things on a stick you can eat, bad for your health. And usually they have it on the island that the Alliant Energy Center is on. That was my experience all through my youth. Used to call it the Coliseum, though. And actually, one time, they had what they called a King Tut exhibit, you know, back when King Tut was touring the nation. Only this was not the real King Tut. This was something in a semi that they came and showed up at local carnivals with. And my brother and I were walking through the parking lots, going to the Dane County Fair. You know, hopeful my mom would get us a wristband or whatever it was where you could ride all the rides.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I forget if we were running or jogging. I feel like I was kicking some stones or a can, you know, because back in our day, to entertain ourselves, we'd kick cans. That was like high entertainment. Kick a can in the parking lot. Yeah. You kids go outside and entertain yourselves till dark. I would kick a can. And anyways, I'm running and I literally sculled myself right on the King Tut semi. It was right across my forehead. And I've got to tell you, Dom, I kind of believe Scott Walker with the cabinet injury.
Since then,
yeah, it was never detrimental to my hairline in the front. Maybe it's the scar tissue, but you know, I don't have the whole reverse yarmulke thing that Walker's got going on. I just saw the other day the picture of the Foxconn where they're all, you know, with their golden shovels.
Digging. Oh yes, yep. When they announced it initially, yep.
And Scott Walker is sort of head down, like he's really getting half a shovel full. Because that guy, he knew how to shovel it, Dom.
And, oh, he did.
Man, that cabinet injury, you could see it from the space shuttle that day.
It was very bright.
It was like a frying pan on the back of his head. You know, like a white yarmulke. And
the contrast with the jet black hair is quite something. It accentuates the light.
Remember when, before Stephen Miller got the great looking hair, Scott Walker tried it for one of his political things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he had that was more of a piece.
Great
I don't think
looking
it was
hair. You think he went the full toupee?
GLH means great looking hair. No, well, I think that was more of a piece. That was my impression.
That Scott Walker.
Very short lived.
We have not independently verified because when I've walked up to Scott Walker, I've never seen a hair piece, but I have seen the bald spot.
Yeah, but we're talking about the photo, though, right? That was in that ad for a very quick moment, for a short time. I thought he may have experimented. Now, it could have been, since it was the photo, it could have been photoshopped, you know, to make it look a little better. So it's hard to say. AI? I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to wait till Microsoft builds their plant, and then we'll ask the AI computer Skynet whether or not Scott Walker ever wore a piece.
I'm pretty sure he did. He's a piece. So. I'm pretty sure he is.
Talk about the county fair. PolitiFact, Kruti, they say mostly true to a statement back in 2016 by Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump says climate change is a hoax invented by the Chinese. Mostly true. That's the short story. Here's the actual tweet from @RealDonaldTrump. Quote, the concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive. That's what he tweeted out November 6th of 2012. November 6th, 2012.
Apparently, well, he was Citizen Trump then. He was just chasing women around dressing rooms and department stores.
Well, you're a big star. They let you do it. So he was called out on it at one of the debates. And then he was asked about it on Fox and Friends. And here's what Trump said. Well, I think the climate change is just a very, very expensive form of tax. I think a lot of people are making a lot of money. I know much about climate change. I'd be received environmental awards. And I often joke that this is done for the benefit of China. Obviously, I joke. But this is done for the benefit of China because China does not do anything to help climate change. They burn everything you can burn. They couldn't care less. They have a very, you know, their standards are nothing. But they, in the meantime, they can undercut us on price. So it's very hot on our business. That's what he had to say then. Trump may call the mention of China's role a hoax, but he certainly has a lengthy record of using the word hoax to describe climate change. And for the record, in 2014, we rated the claim of climate change being a hoax pants on fire. On December 30th of 2015, Trump told the crowd at a Hilton Head rally, Obama's talking about all of this with global warming. A lot of it's a hoax. I mean, it's a money-making industry, okay? It's a hoax, a lot of it. That's three times using hoax in one sentence. Trump has also used the word on tweet since his 2020 tweet. Yes, global warming hoax created by the Chinese. Donald Trump said it. It's out there. It's mostly true, according to PolitiFact.
Well, he hosted a little fundraiser recently, Dom, as mentioned, and tried to leverage access to him with oil executives for like a $1 billion payoff. And then he promised them in a very corrupted way that he would roll back and allow more oil exploration and fewer regulations. But do you know something interesting, Dom?
What?
Current domestic oil production, highest it's ever been. Under Joe Biden, 13 million barrels a day. I'm not even happy about that. I'm just putting out the facts. Drill.
If that's your criteria, all those megas should be voting for Joe Biden.
Come back with us. It'll turn stormy in here. I feel quite confident. Happy Thursday.